that laughter mean yes? All right, does anyone know how many days to a Christmas?
Zero.
How many do you think, Aaron? One. All right. Are you guys counting the hours? No. All right. We haven't got to counting hours yet, but my kids want to open presents tonight. Do you guys open presents on Christmas Eve? One? Yeah. Okay. But imagine then, we're all excited for Christmas tomorrow, but imagine if you didn't know when Christmas was going to come. Okay, imagine if you had read stories about Christmas, you'd seen movies about Christmas, your parents had told you about Christmas, this special event, and you didn't know when it was going to come. Would that be tough? Okay, you know you're going to get presents, but you don't know if it'll be tomorrow or in a year's time or in many years' time. And so when we know the date of something, it helps us as we anticipate that event that is yet to come. So it might be the wedding day. It might be when you get your driver's license. It might be your birthday. We have an expectation and anticipation because we know that there's a day on the calendar for when that event is going to come. But for the people of Israel, they had received a promise of a first Christmas hundreds of years before the first Christmas came. And so they were excited that this son or this man, Jesus Christ as we know him, was going to come. But they never actually knew when he was going to come. And so their anticipation was excitement, and yet it just continued on and on until the day came. And then they were expecting someone who was going to save them and rule them. They expected one who was going to be a king. And so naturally, we would assume the announcement would be proclaimed from the palace, that royal officials would come out and say, the king has been born, or the king is here. And yet we see in Scripture that that wasn't the case. So if you have your Bibles here tonight, I'm going to focus some time on Luke chapter 1, and I'll read through some portions of Luke chapter 1 as we consider that for the Israelites, they had no date marked on the calendar. They just knew that this person, this individual, their Savior and their King was going to come at some point. But then we see in Luke chapter 1, the announcement isn't made from the palace. The announcement is made to this young girl, Mary, who was just a young girl who lived in a small farming community. And so in Luke chapter 1 it says, in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And then in verse 30, the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And so we don't know a lot about Mary except that she was engaged to the man Joseph. We can believe that she was a poor woman. Joseph and them together were part of a poor marriage when they got married. We know that she was engaged and that she was a good girl. Okay, it says that she had found favor in the eyes of God. And so, when we find out here that she's pregnant, it would probably be easy for her to try and make up an excuse, or at least the people around her would have thought that she was trying to make up an excuse for why she was pregnant when she wasn't married and she had the reputation to be a good girl. And so I think for most people around, including even Joseph, when Mary told him that she was pregnant, he didn't believe her until the angel came and told Joseph that she was pregnant. And so I think it would be to those people like the excuse, my dog ate my homework. Because imagine Mary going to her family and her friends and to the whole town and saying, I have news to tell you. I'm pregnant. but an angel came and told me that the Holy Spirit was going to come upon me and I was going to have a son, and that son was going to be the King of Israel forever, and he will be called the Son of the Most High and the Son of God. That would sound like an excuse to me. And as I said, Joseph didn't even believe her. And so this story would have sounded ridiculous for people who thought maybe Mary actually believes what she says. Then she is either crazy or she is thinking of something that's impossible. Either way, they wouldn't have naturally believed what she was telling them. But this baby was no ordinary baby. And hence, 2,000 years later, we come and we still come to remember and worship him. And so, Mary was going to, and she did, get pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit. It tells us that in Luke chapter 1, 35, as the angel explains how this is going to come to pass. And so her son was not only going to be a human baby, but her son was going to be God in human flesh. And so God, who is the creator of the universe, who isn't bound by any time, who isn't confined to any place at any time, who rules over everything and is ruled by nothing, who has all knowledge and all power, who has all understanding, he chose to take on the form of a human. So he was going to be the son of God the Father and the son of a mother who was a human being. Jesus was going to be and is both God and man. And so in Luke chapter 1:32 it says this, as the angel again spoke to Mary, "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David." So Jesus was going to be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. If you go back to Luke chapter 1 verse 15, as John the Baptist was going to be born, which he himself was a miracle baby, we see that the angel said that John the Baptist was going to be great, but it was great in the sight of the Lord. And then many of you have probably heard of Muhammad Ali. Okay, we know him as the boxer who proclaimed, "I am the greatest." But without entering into a debate about whether he was the greatest boxer and the greatest sportsman of the 20th century, and without disrespecting him, for 30 years of his life, he suffered Parkinson's disease, and in 2016 he died. And so Jesus was simply going to be great. He wasn't just great in the eyes of the Lord, and he wasn't temporarily great like Muhammad Ali. Jesus was and is great. In Titus 2:13, it says this about Jesus. He is our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, the second description of Jesus in the verse says that he is going to be called the Son of the Most High. So he's going to be great and he's going to be the Son of the Most High. In other words, as it says in verse 35, that he is going to be the Son of God. And to be the Son of God meant that he was equating himself that he is God. That's why the Jews wanted to kill him. Because when he was here on earth and he called God his father, the Jews wanted to kill him for declaring that he was God. And so the baby Jesus was God and he was man. He is our great God and he is our fellow human. As a baby, he grew up in a home that was very normal, like many of us, with parents and siblings. But he was no ordinary baby. And he didn't just have an ordinary kingdom. He was not an ordinary king. And so in the next part of Luke chapter 1, we see that Jesus is described as the one who will be king. So it says, the Lord will The Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. So as the Son of the Most High, he is God, and as the Son of David, he is man. But he is no ordinary son of David and no ordinary king, because his kingdom shall go forever. And so, in another statement of his kingdom not being ordinary, is that he actually established his kingdom when he died. It was when he died that he was able to set free his people. He was a king without a palace. He was a king without servants. He was a king without a crown, and he was king without first being born as a prince. He was born as a king. And so while the Jews expected this king to come and to physically set them free and to physically set up a kingdom, God prioritized a spiritual kingdom and a spiritual freedom first. Okay, because more important than the temporary and a physical kingdom is an eternal and a spiritual kingdom. And more important than being free from slavery in this world is being free from slavery of our sin and the consequences of our sin. Because all of us, because of our sin, have fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. Meaning that all of us deserve eternity in hell. But we see that God will give the world to his Son and reign forever. But God also gave his Son to the world. And so John 3:16 tells us that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And whoever believes means that anyone and everyone who believes in Jesus Christ, who submits to Jesus Christ as Lord, they will be saved and welcome into that eternal spiritual kingdom that will continue forever. If we can't pay to get into the kingdom because we don't have enough of what it would cost, all we have to do is believe that Jesus has paid the price, the entry ticket for us to get into the kingdom. We can't pay off the debt, the sin debt that we owe. We have to accept Jesus' death and his blood as payment for our sin. And no one can ever be good enough to earn freedom, to earn our salvation, because we must believe that Jesus is perfect and that his goodness in obeying God in every single thing, thought, word, and deed, is able to be transferred to our account. And so it'd be like me having a $10,000 credit card debt. If I tried to pay the minimum payment on that credit card debt, then I would never get out of debt, because the interest would just keep piling up and I would just be in a long cycle that wouldn't end. If I chose to keep using that credit card, then my debt would increase more and more each time I use that credit card. But if someone else chose to pay that debt on my behalf, then it would zero out my account completely and I would be debt-free. Okay, but imagine if I was debt-free and the bank called because the system had failed and they didn't recognize that someone else had paid on my behalf. So they said, "Where's your money? You haven't paid for this month." And at that moment, I could just say, "Oh, I'm sorry. I'm going to pay whatever I owe, $10, $20. Or I could say, someone else has paid my debt for me, and therefore I am completely debt-free because that person has paid off my debt. And in a similar way, our sin debt has been completely and totally paid off by Jesus' own death, by his payment on the cross. And so we must then accept that payment that has been given to us, that we would submit to the Lord for what he has done, and that in response to his gracious gift that we haven't deserved, that we would then choose to follow him. And so back in our passage in Luke chapter 1, we see that Jesus was going to inherit and receive the throne of David and that his kingdom would last forever. But this kingdom isn't just over Israel. Israel was expecting a king that would come and save them and reign over them. But Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Okay, he is the king who will reign over all the earth. He is the king who will judge all people. And so Jesus' death wasn't the end of the line of David, and Jesus' death wasn't the end of his greatness or the possibilities of him becoming king. Rather, it was his death that established his kingdom, because 3 days later he rose again from the dead, victorious over sin and over death. He overcame sin and death, which were the strongholds of the domain of darkness, the domain of the devil, of Satan. And now he has transferred all who believe to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Isn't that incredible news? We have received complete forgiveness for our sin and been transferred from our darkness into the light. And so Jesus wasn't just born 2,000 years ago as a king, but Jesus is king today. Jesus will be king forever. He rules right now a kingdom that can't be seen, and it's a kingdom that isn't restricted by time or by place. Okay, he rules in the hearts of all of us who choose to follow him, to obey him, to love and to live for him. And we just have to accept his payment. And then his kingdom will continue forever, both spiritually as well as one day there will be a visible and physical kingdom. And so what a glorious and exciting truth it is to know that we have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness, from our sin and from the consequences of our sin, into a life of love, into freedom of life, into God's own family. But for anyone who is not part of this kingdom, if you still remain in your sin and haven't experienced that transfer of God's righteousness and your sin to Jesus, if you haven't put your life into Jesus' hands, asked his forgiveness, then I would urge you to bow before King Jesus, to acknowledge that he is the one who is great and that you have disobeyed him, that the consequences are death, but the free gift of life is eternal life. And in that you can be restored into a relationship with God, now and forever. And so, if you have not made that one choice, then I would just encourage you, even tonight, to make that choice that Jesus is Lord of your life and that you deserve death, but Jesus offers forgiveness of sin and with that eternal life. We don't know if tomorrow will be Christmas Day for any of us, because we don't know if tomorrow will come for any of us. And so I would say today is the day of salvation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are so loving and gracious. Your kingdom is forever. We do not deserve the privilege to even be known as a slave, and yet alone you call us even a child as one of yours for all those who are welcomed into the family of God, all those who have surrendered their life to Jesus, all those who have acknowledged their sin and need of a Savior. Lord, as we think on Christmas, may we reflect on the greatest gift given to mankind, God in flesh, the one who has saved us because we couldn't do it by ourselves. And so, Lord, may we rejoice in what you have done, even this evening as we have sang. May it be from a heart of joy as we acknowledge that Jesus is King. But for anyone that doesn't know Jesus as King, may he become the one that they bow down to. Now, because we know that in the future every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Ken and team, if you guys want to come up, and as we're doing one last song,